Y'all ready?
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
You on? All right, I want to welcome everybody. We're glad everybody came out, and we need to go ahead and to introduce Ms. Andrea Harbin. Would you stand and be recognized? She's our new chamber director for the city of Westminster. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Brian.
Go ahead. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order, and if you would, please stand for the invocation, the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let's pray. Good and gracious God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we give you thanks for this beautiful day, for the opportunity to come together in service of the city that we love so much. God, we ask that you pour your blessing upon us tonight and upon us as we leave from this place, that we attune our hearts and our minds to your will, that we seek your wisdom and knowledge over our own, and that together we discern your will for our city. In your holy name we pray, let all God's people say.
Amen.
Let's salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Certify a quorum, please.
I certify we do have a quorum.
Has anyone signed up for public comments?
Ms. Andrea Harbin.
Ms. Andrea Harbin, you have the floor.
Good evening. Like Brian said, I'm a new employee for the Ocala Chamber of Commerce. I am assigned here in Westminster. I think Rebecca was doing that position. They were hiring for one, but gave her two. So the other person is Lauren Butts. She's at the chamber in Seneca. So I am the outreach and membership coordinator. So if you know anybody interested in joining, or just need to get reacquainted with the chamber, they can come talk to me. If I don't know the answers, I can always call Derry, my boss. But I'm just looking forward to helping Westminster grow and Ocala County grow through the chamber.
Andrew, what day is it they have the coffee?
It's tomorrow.
It is tomorrow morning,
yeah,
8 o'clock?
I have our cards to show what's going on during the month for May. If anybody would like one, I have them. In the morning, we have Coffee and Commerce. It's how to use networking to amplify your success. I think everybody in here knows how to network, but you might need a little dusting off, and you know. So our president, Derry, will be presenting that. So we'd like to see some of y'all there in the morning, if we can.
And that's at the depot?
Yes, at 8 o'clock. And there will be some coffee and light refreshments there also.
Good coffee?
Yes.
Derry makes it. I drink it, so yeah, it's pretty good.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else?
That's all.
That's it. Next, we have comments from mayor and council. Any council members have anything they need to say?
I'm going to give a little shout out to the folks that put on our Cinco de Mayo festival. I know Doug and Judy were really big in that, and Brady Rodman. It was really well done, and the train was amazing. I wish that I would have gotten on it now that I found out with Dalton Scott on it. I missed out. But it was great.
Anyone else? One thing on that, Mr. Brunson. The LDC grants, are we getting any response for those?
We haven't received any recently. Last week we put a flyer out, postcard that we sent to the folks who are on the chamber's mailing list in town, and then we'll be following that up with the broader list. We haven't received any in the last couple of months.
How much do we have in that account? 40
it's
some?
It's around $47,000, $48,000.
What would you think? We talked about this at the mayor's conference down there, when you can't get to try to spur it. What if we did run it up to 10,000, run it for 1 year? We're at 7 now or 5?
It's 5 now. The committee considered increasing it from 5 to 7,500 a couple months back. I don't remember if it was 2 months back or so. And before they did that, they asked if the staff would do a broader educational campaign, which is why we had those cards produced and sent them to folks that are on the chamber list. So we were doing that first at the direction or the request of the board or the committee to do that. We certainly can do whatever the council wants.
I think that's something we should think about. If we don't get any requests in the next couple of weeks, if we could do that, and maybe could we designate it just for retail or restaurants? Could we do that?
Ultimately, it's the council's decision. That policy is written, and it's the full latitude is yours.
All right. Well, let's take another look at this next month, and if we hadn't had any interest, maybe that'll spur some growth. It did in some of the other towns. They did that. Just we could do it for 1 year to see. We got that money sitting in the bank, and buildings need it. So whatever we need to do to make it appealing to them.
Hey, Kevin, can you touch on the dedication of the fields next week? Just talk about it for a second. The use of the methyl fields.
Oh, sure. I think all his council knows, but I don't know if everybody else in town knows, but we'll have, council will dedicate the Yusuf Mefla Memorial Fields next Wednesday evening at 5:30. The new multi-purpose fields that are out behind the West Oak Middle School. Yusuf's family will be there. I believe there'll be quite a bit of his family from out of town, maybe some even from out of country. The 17th is also Yusuf's birthday, which is why it was a little bit of a hurry up and rush. Once, in talking with the family, once they like the name they helped craft the name that we're going to put on those fields, then they asked if we could go ahead and have it on his birthday, which is next Wednesday. So I think folks will be pleased. We'll have a short ceremony at the beginning to just dedicate the fields. And then we'll have a three-inning exhibition game with the Carolina Rampage, which is a travel team out of Anderson, and the Westminster Rec League. The travel league from Anderson, one of the players is Eli Smith, who is Yusuf's grandson, and he will throw the first pitch. So that will be the first pitch on those fields with his grandson. And I think that will be a bit of a momentous thing for them. I have had a request from the family that we keep it light and happy. I think the fact that Yusuf's birthday is a bit of a struggle, and then as honored as they are that the fields are being dedicated in his memory, I think there will still be some heavy hearts because he's not there. So in our planning, we've done everything we can to keep the light and happy mood at the forefront of what we're doing.
We won't have bleachers there yet, so they'll need chairs.
Yeah, so we'll have some bleachers there, but we tell folks the way that field is designed now, that the big field has actually got a grassy knoll that banks around home plate. So we invite folks, if you don't feel like putting a chair out, bring a blanket and lay on the grass. We will do our best to make sure there are fire ants or anything else that will eat you. It will go both ways. There will be space for chairs. We will also, Chief Patterson and Chief Smith and their departments will serve hot dogs for the folks who come out. And I can tell you that we appreciate our friends at Blue Ridge. They've donated water. So we'll have a couple of cases of water that will come from them. Chief Smith, 9. You gave me a number. I didn't catch it.
9 cases.
The two chiefs have taken this they've taken the idea that I asked them to be the cooks, and they've run with it. So they're really looking forward to cooking for folks. And it'll be simple, hot dogs, chips, and drinks, and then we'll have that separate.
Thank you.
Will they have the flagpole?
I'm waiting. We can. I'm still waiting to see where we would put it.
Okay. Just so council and everyone knows, Life Point Church has donated a flagpole for the awesome. For the new ball field. Is that it?
I think so.
All right, move on to routine business. Approval of April 18 regular meeting minutes. You have those in your packet. Hoping everybody had a chance to look over them.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion second. Any more discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Aldridge? Yes. Baby?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Next up, approval of April 18 budget workshop minutes.
Move to approve budget workshop minutes, April 18, 2023.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Aldridge?
Yep.
Next, approval of April 25th budget workshop minutes. Motion to second. Call for a vote.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Aldridge?
Yep.
Davey?
Next, comments from Utilities Director, Mr. Harbin. You have the floor.
I'm pretty light this evening. In the electrical department, we did have an incident earlier this week where a car severely damaged two of our poles in front of the church up here. Luckily, no power was out affected during that. They were able to, poles didn't come down, power stayed up, and the guys were able to rebuild the poles high. So there was no power out affected through that. Water and sewer, there are still ongoing issues, but generally speaking, both of those products are flowing in the directions they should. So unless you have questions for me in particular, that's all I've got.
Any date on the sidewalk? When is that coming up?
The paving?
Yeah, the paving, I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's all the next thing on the seat phone.
Paving, yeah, we did sidewalks last year. This issue is paving. We are currently on hold. We could move as soon as we get the sewer on Oak Street repaired. They won't start the paving project until Oak Street is ready. The sewer on Oak Street is in the survey stage right now. As soon as they can get the survey done, Troy Rozier is going to expedite that and get it moving as fast as we can, because Oak Street is one of the main ones that's in the paving project, and they don't want to turn the whole project loose until Oak Street is ready to go, and that sewer has to be replaced from North Avenue through the under the railroad all the way to halfway through Ingalls before we can start paving. So we're just waiting with bated breath to get that done.
Okay, thank you.
Have you heard any rumors at all about the dumpster closure at Walgreens?
I have not. I know Bob was working on that.
I can follow up.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't have the answer to that. We went
that?
By and cleaned up all the debris a while back. But
cleaning up the dumpster closure at Walgreens.
Oh.
So we got the debris up a while back, but as far as the rest of it, not knowing the ownership or I personally don't have the answer to that. So.
I don't know if this is for you or for Kevin. At one point, you said something about we'll get you more sidewalks. Are there plans with the C funds to get more sidewalks?
So I was saying that in a very generic sense to placate you at the moment. However,
just for the record, we're not even a mile. We only have like a half of a mile to get in the city limits.
So we can go back to, what I just said was true. We can go back and ask for additional C fund money once we finish this paving project.
Okay.
They'll only allocate us one bucket of money at a time, but we can.
Okay.
And we have talked about that with the C fund committee that our next request would be for new sidewalks.
We're less than a mile away.
So we would work with the council to determine where those would be.
Good.
Good enough.
I run out of sidewalk.
Okay, thank you. All right, next, comments from City Administrator, Mr. Brunson.
And I apologize, I'm not going to be quite as light as Kevin Harkin, but I'm going to run through these as quick as I can. Our electric vehicle charger is operational. We'll do a small press release, see if we can get Andrea and Dick to pick it up and put it in their news feeds. We still need to paint the ballers that are there, but if someone were to use it, it's operational. It is on an app called ChargePoint. So if you go to whatever your smartphone may be, you can go and you can download that ChargePoint app. And it will show you that is available in Westminster. It'll tell you if somebody's using it or not and what the cost is. The just real quick, the fees that we put in place were at the recommendation of the manufacturer. We put in a $2 per hour fee, and that is to keep people moving. So if they charge their car, some folks will tend to leave in the air all day. So you put the $2 an hour fee to get them to move. And the rate that we picked is the church rate that we use in town. So it's somewhere between residential and commercial. We have a church rate that we apply to folks, according to Kylie. And I don't know exactly what that kilowatt hour is, but it's in the 12 to 17 cent range. If you were to look at the app right now, it says that for a 2 hour charge, it would run you about $9.50. So compared to gasoline, not bad. Haven't seen anybody pull up yet. As soon as we do, I'll make sure to take a whole bunch of pictures.
Is there going to be like some signage on the road to let people know that it's there?
Yes, we will have a sign to let people know. And we will also have that put on quite a few other electric car charging apps and locate mine. There are quite a few that are out there, so we had to make sure it's up and operational.
Kevin, where is it?
It's in the on the eastern side of the parking lot next to the police department. So if you're standing looking at the parking lot, the police department's on the right. There's a very large tree on your left, and it's just a little bit from under the tree. We'll have some more things to draw your attention once we get there. Oh, and I will note that we paid for that with the grant through the South Carolina Energy Office. So, and we worked on that paperwork to close that grant out today, so then we'll go after some other grant we got. The water tanks at North Avenue, this is not something that we've talked about as a group yet. I just wanted to give this to you, the council, as a heads up. Back in November, we had Richard Tucker and the electrician that we've been using, Paul Davis, come in and do a number of evaluations and spec out the emergency generators that we have applied through the South Carolina Emergency Management Department for. And in their work, they noted a number of electrical deficiencies at our North Avenue tanks. Really what you can chalk that up to is that over time, people did what they had to do to be able to make things work. Well, that would not pass any current code. We received the estimate this week to have that work completed, and it's around $80,000. So it's a pretty good lift. If you pass the budget tonight and in the second reading, we budgeted $94,000 in that budget for what is called short-lived assets, something that we're required to do with the loan from the USDA Rural Development Office. My plan would be to use those funds after July 1st to have that electrical work done. There's some panels that will have to be ordered and a couple of pumps that will have to be ordered as a part of that whole process. So it's going to take a little bit of lead time to get it there. But since it was rather pricey, much more than I thought it was going to come back at, I wanted to let you know, and that may come back to you before we actually give them notice to proceed. A lot of it is, even though the price tag's a little bit healthy, there's a lot of small components to it. So just wanted to let you know. I think we're in good hands, though, with Richard Tucker and Paul Davis. So today we had I don't typically pay attention to Facebook unless Rebecca tells me that I need to. And we had a situation today where a city employee used their city vehicle to take their child to school. Our city policy is that we don't use city vehicles for personal use. It was a new employee that I don't believe we had adequately informed, which is my job to make sure that they're informed of all city policies. So we've now informed that employee that they're not to use the vehicle for personal use. The bottom line is our insurance provider just will not cover the people that are in the car if they're not city employees. So we resolved that issue. Rebecca tells me it got to be quite a fun thing on Facebook today. I wanted to tell you that our policy is we don't use city vehicles for personal use, not even to drop children off. So we've spoken with the employee, and again, I believe that he didn't believe he was doing anything wrong. So
sure.
We have talked a number of times about fire contract with Oconee County. I just wanted to tell council that is still ongoing discussion with the county. I don't have anything that I need to brief you in executive session, which is why you didn't see me. The next one is a little bit of a homework assignment for council. You all, you know that we bid out to have the website redesigned. And with that, your city committee is me, Rebecca, and Kylie Carter, and now all the department heads. Everyone is having fun. I say that very sarcastically. It's a heavy lift to accumulate all the information we need to have on there and redistribute it. But the website folks made a big suggestion of the council that you each have a bio on the website along with the headshot.
Absolutely.
So I would ask if you are willing to give us a bio on who you are and where you come from, and you decide how long you want it to be. It could be a sentence, it could be 5 pages, whatever you choose. And then we'll schedule a time to have someone, and when I say someone, that could be me and my iPhone, take pictures of you so that we have a consistent background and everything else. We'll do that in the next 2 or 3 weeks, if that's all right, or maybe at the next council meeting. So I just wanted to get your temperature. Are you okay giving us a bio? I'll send you an email.
A good
reminder.
Background.
A consistent background.
Yeah, but a consistent and a good one.
Okay, we'll do both.
Okay.
I'll send that to you in by Friday when I send out the admin report. I'll put a little note in there. We're working internally to get the bulk of this back to the developers by May 24th.
Oh, okay.
So our internal goal is to have everything done by the 19th, but it's due back to them on the 25th, so sometime in that time frame. And if any of you need any help, please call Rebecca. She'll be glad to help. Okay, and so now for the fun part. So again, I'm going to blame this on Rebecca because she's the one who's been talking to it. We were contacted by a production company a month or so back. And there is a crew that is going to shoot a zombie movie, and they want to use some of our alleyways. So on June the 10th, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., they will be filming various scenes of a vampire movie called On the Run. Those will be in the alleyways behind the Boys Camp thrift store and the alleyway up behind the construction lab.
What time are they going to be doing that again?
8 a.m. to 6 p.m. They are not asking to have any roads shut down. They really aren't asking anything of us other than can they be in public space throughout the day. So we've given them that approval.
Do they need extras?
They've not asking
for myself. Truly asking for a friend.
They've not given us that information, but I would assume if you want to be one and you show up and you look skagging up.
I've seen my husband. I mean, this is like right up his alley.
So we will have Chief Patterson notify all the business owners that are in there just so that they know.
Watch for zombies.
And vampires.
Or vampires. Wait, which is, what did I say?
You said both.
You said both.
You said both.
Okay.
Is it zombies or vampires?
You said zombies.
Oh, it's zombies. Okay. Yeah.
I'm afraid of vampires. I'm not afraid of zombies.
It's zombies. I wrote a vampire. I got
all
my things.
It's a Saturday.
Yes, it's a Saturday. So it's a month from tomorrow. So we want the business owners to know that there'll be a little extra activity. All right. That's all I have.
We just need Mr. Glimp to wear the Bigfoot suit and shave zombies.
There you go.
Somehow you knew that was already in discussion.
Oh. What did
all
you
right.
say the name of the movie was?
On the Run.
And we need to get deals.
Are you watching that?
Yeah.
All right, next, move on to old business. That's all you had. Consideration of the second reading, ordinance 2023-05-09-02, ordinance to amend Title 3, Chapter 30 of the Code of Ordinance for the City of Westminster. This is the raise for the mayor and council. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to consider the second reading of the ordinance.
2023-05-09-02.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? Call for vote.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Next, number five. Rebecca, the numbering on these, I'm going to get off because they're not lined up. I don't know what happened, but this list is number five on the agenda. Consideration of second reading ordinance number 2023-05-10-01. This ordinance directs the City of Westminster to enter an intergovernmental agreement relating to South Carolina local revenue services to participate in one or more local revenue service programs, to execute and deliver one or more participant program supplements and other matters relating thereto. Mr. Bronson, do you want to do a short explanation of this again?
Yeah, and Mayor, my apologies. First, that the ordinance number should be 2003-05-09-01.
Say that again, please.
2003-05-09-01. Mm-hmm. We're related to the date. So
2023.
Right.
Yes.
Not 2003.
Correct. Okay. So this, we use the Municipal Association to collect what are called brokers and insurance taxes. There's a complicated formula in which insurance providers and brokers for insurance pay what is in effect a business license or a business tax. Most cities in the state of South Carolina use the Municipal Association to collect that on their behalf. They get, a 5% of that fee. Annually, it's around $200,000 or $300,000 in our revenue source. Due to state law changes a year and a half ago, where a new business ordinance had to be enacted, you all approved that at the beginning of last year. The Municipal Association has since asked us to update all the language in the contract that we have with them. You passed two parts of that contract language at your last council meeting. This is the second reading that enacts everything by ordinance.
Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve ordinance number 2023-05-09-01.
Okay. Motion and second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Dale?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am. Next, discuss hospitality tax grant requests and consider appropriations related thereto to be incorporated into ordinance 2023-06-13-01.
And Mayor, you all have in your packet a summary of what each of the agencies asked for. You have received their full packets, you received the summary information, you've listened to their request in person, and so we would ask you to give staff direction on this prior to adopting the agreement or first reading.
Before you go into the numbers and stuff, I'm going to accuse myself on this based on the connection to the South Carolina Bigfoot Festival. Pass that down.
I have a question for Kevin, and I guess for council as well. I have a question and an actual recommendation, if that's okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Mayor. The first question is it possible for us to take Oconee History Museum and move that and manage it in the same way that we manage utilities for taxes, so that they're not coming and asking for their utilities to be paid with H tax funds every year?
We certainly can do that if that's what council would like. Currently, we pay the electric bill for Dot's Kitchen. It's not much. What's $400-$500 over the course of the year. So that meter bills directly back to us. We could have that same situation either on just the electric or the floor utilities, whatever you would direct.
What's the, I don't have that with me without digging through a book. What was the total on their utility costs last year? Do you remember? I know a couple of years ago it was
$3,400. Well, I think it was around $4,000.
I also read that you're looking for that, and also at museum, at yeah. Gateway Art Center, because when you start looking at it, it's not just utilities, it's insurance, it's like all those things. It's not just one little piece of that. It's the ask of all of those things, and that's the same with Gateway Art Center.
I wouldn't mind that for the museum, as that is a public,
government-owned. Yeah, my understanding is, unlike Gateway, we as a council, or a council at some point in time, entered into an agreement where we take care of what they come and ask for every year. Is that right?
No, they still have to request the hospitality tax every year.
I was going to say, if we did that, I had some really nice numbers to keep us up to 40,000.
Kevin, can I ask you what the pros and cons of that would be?
Well, I guess, just off the top of my head, you have precedent that you do it for Dot's Kitchen, which is a group of volunteers. They're working on behalf of the greater good. It's what I would call a minimal expense. It's not like you're operating a full-scale restaurant or a large enterprise like this building. There have been quite a few, I think, informal commitments with the museum in the past in an effort to keep that store operating. I think it's 3 or 4 days a week. Can't remember how many it is. So I guess I don't know how to give you pros and cons. I can just tell you that you've got a precedent for it, that you wouldn't be creating one, which is a pro. I think the cost would be minimal in terms of what our overall expenses are. Certainly, if it were around a $4,000 a year bill, that is something that we could absorb within our current operating utility expenditures. Does that help?
Well, there's not much of a negative to it. I guess I was wanting to hear if there was something that we're missing that would be in opposition to doing it, then that's what I wanted to hear. But I mean, if there's not, then I don't have a problem with it. I don't want anybody else.
The only issue would be it's county run, and as long as they man it regularly, if they were to stop, would we want to continue to doing that?
I think if you'd like to make it conditional that they maintain their existing operating hours, then I think that would be an easy condition for them to meet. And then if they were to change it, they could always come back to you and petition for something different. I mean, we can, if that's what you choose to do, we can write it up, and I would send them a letter telling them what you have chosen to do and what any conditions you may attach to your choice would be.
Could we place a maximum on it of 4,000? If that's their general?
Yeah, I just found their application. Their utilities for City of Westminster are $2,700. Their Fort Hill, their gas bill is $700. And then, like Davey was saying, the other stuff they're asking is backflow testing, sprinklers, and fire inspections, $300. So I think if we max it at $4,000, then we're covering the bulk of expenses that they need covered. Does that make sense?
It does. Kevin, that would still have to come from hospitality tax, though, correct?
Well, we don't pay Dot's Kitchen for hospitality. We pay it just from our, is that kind of general fund or utility fund?
It's general. I think it's like non-departmental.
Yeah, so that meter covering that, when it gets billed, that just comes to us rather than. But we can set this up however you'd like. I mean, there's nothing really sacred about that setup that we have with Dot's Kitchen. We could still charge it to hospitality. You could move it over to general fund or utility fund?
What if we went half and half with it? Because it benefits the citizens in the general fund. I could see it paying for it, but it also brings people in. So I can see hospitality tax, and that wouldn't put such a burden on either one of the funds. What do you think?
I think either we could accommodate it whatever way you think council would like.
You good with that, Ms. Aldrin?
To split the four?
That way we don't affect the general fund quite as much or the hospitality tax fund as much.
So would you split the four or split the eight they're asking?
The four.
Okay. Well, that messes up my really pretty numbers that I
would. Well, this is kind of a separate issue, but we need to kind of get it weighted out.
You could include that 2,000 in what you're considering here, or you could take the museum and set it aside so we're considering that all.
What do you think?
If we take the museum and set it aside, I did some figuring and I did some thinking about our three largest asks are all three events and things that bring lots of people into Westminster. That would be Apple, Bigfoot, and Music Center. If we gave each of them $8,500, then we could give the rest of the applicants, minus the museum, what they're asking. That gives Gateway the $7,000 that she's requesting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that prevents us from sitting here and going line by line by line. But that's taking into account that we move Oconee History Museum completely out.
Well, if we do that, we'd have to adjust the budget somewhere for that in the general fund.
Sure. I get that.
Well, if this would help you, we could, so when we charge those utility expenses to the general fund, and what I'm speaking of in general is the electric meters that register the consumption, we bucket that in. Don't have the budget in front of me to tell you where it all goes. We typically are pretty conservative on what we think those costs are going to be, just because the fluctuation we have in a variable temperature environment. So there's a lot of fluctuation from year to year. We have a really hot summer, like we had that really cold snap in December last year. What I'm trying to get at is, I think we have sufficient buffer in there that you wouldn't need to alter it. As we go through the year, if it seems like we're going to overrun that account, I can come back and let you know that.
So that's the 2,000 or the four?
I believe we could accommodate the four, because the line item that I have in my mind is around a $200,000 line item where we pay quite a bit of our utility expenses that are electric, water, and sewer for city operations.
All right, we would need to vote on this separate. You'd have to bring that back to us.
I don't think so. If you would like to, unless Andrew has any additional ideas, I think they can give me direction on what they would like to do, because we aren't adjusting the numbers. I can just take that as direction to do them.
Okay, I mean, you're just swapping where it comes from.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think you would need, if that's what you want to do with the History Museum and you want to cap it at four, I can take that as direction from you, and we'll make note that it's included in our general operating general fund budget, and there will be no additional action required.
All right. You don't need a vote?
As long as Andrew's fine with that.
I mean, the vote would be at next month's meeting on the final budget.
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all good with that?
So well, we're removing the line off of the
page. Yeah, if we do that, we're going to scratch the $4,000 off of the hospitality tax. Jimmy, you good with that?
We can't hear, so y'all if y'all said something.
Yeah, I'm there.
They're good. Y'all are good with that?
About the museum.
About the museum.
I'm good with that. I'm good with taking.
Ms. May, you good with that? make a note to ask Mr. Glenn about that when he comes in, because that's a separate issue from this. All right, hospitality taxes are difficult. We try to give everybody on council an opportunity to give their suggestions. So, Ms. Aldridge, you've made yours.
I have made
mine. You're at 85.
8,500 to Apple, Bigfoot, and Westminster Music Center, and everybody else request other than the History Museum stays as they requested it, and it's matched.
Okay, what does that total up to?
40,000.
All right, Ms. Davey, do you have any suggestions?
Well, no, I mean, honestly, we're on the same page because I went through and you looked at my paper. I had figured, I just had one little thing I needed to tweak, but taking that out takes care of it. So I'm good. That rewards all those people the amounts that they wanted. I really had a different mindset this year, thinking about those that are doing things all year long, who have the expenses of building, and then like the great Gateway Artists. I mean, we have artists in residence basically in our town. Right. And all the events and all those things they do, you know. And so I'm good with, you know, those other numbers. The ones that are listed in the 85.
All right, Ms. May.
Yeah, I agree with what Dobby said. And
Audrey. That's me.
Yeah, I agree with it.
Mm-hmm. All right, well. I don't feel like we should drop the Apple Festival and the Bigfoot Festival. Those two bring in thousands of people. And, you know, that's to me, if you look at the amount of money the Music Center and the Gateway Arts are asking for, I don't think they bring in half as much to the town as those two events, but that's my opinion. But we'll move on, let the other two. Jimmy, you got any suggestions on them?
No, I pretty much agree with what you're saying.
Well, I've got detailed numbers. I can go through them. I come up with 39, but we could add another 1,000 anywhere. But Adam, you go ahead.
I'm kind of on the same page. I don't want to see the festival or the Bigfoot Festival dropping what we gave them last year.
Do you have any suggestions on the other numbers?
I don't. I'd actually deducted some on the Music Center, as well as the Gateway Arts Center. They only requested 5,000 last year. We gave them 4. Now they're requesting 7. I moved them to 5. But I'd like to hear what you got to say there. I'm just.
Well, I had put 5 for the museum, so if we're taking that completely out, we could go with. The Farm Center is not asking too much, but I figured if we went 2.5, 2.5, that would have them right under, or halfway between what we gave them last year. Gateway Arts, we could go 6 on that. The Apple Festival, 10. The rodeos, give them what they were asking on both. That does bring a lot of people to town. For every event, 10 on the Bigfoot, and 4 on the Westminster Music Center. Now they do 3 events, is that correct, Music Center?
4.
All right, so that's $1,000 per event. Now that was my suggestion, so.
And that comes to 39?
No, that was before. I took the 5 out and adjusted some numbers, so I don't know what that come to. Somebody keep track.
It's 37.
Just
that's 37.
What were your numbers, Ryan? I'm sorry.
I'm having to adjust because of the Music Center. 2.5 for the Farm Center. 6 for Gateway Arts. 10 for the Apple Festival, 2.5 for the rodeo, 2 for the barrel race, 10 for the Bigfoot, 4 for the music center.
Just a thought. Hear me out. Not that the music center is going to produce something that's going to bring in the crowds that Apple or Bigfoot does, but if we were to give them a little bit more money, we could have more regular events.
Well, that's what this is, a negotiation. So.
And also, he has a building.
He has a building.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gateway Arts Center, I looked at their bills and everything, it costs them at least $7,000 a year, at least for utilities and everything. That's just, they can be in a big town.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I really admire is all the different sponsorships and all the grants they get for. So they're really not just depending on Westminster, they're really, you know, trying to make everybody
come. Well, mine came up to 37, is that right? So that gives us another 3 if we're going to stick with 40. And I'm not pushing it one way or the other. I just know right now, if we call for a vote, we got 3 on this side and 3 on this side. It's going to be a tie. So I'm trying to find a middle ground. So.
I hear you.
And I'm not hung up.
If we've got 3 to play with your numbers, I'd say give Westminster Music Center 7. Or 6 and Match Gateway. She does events literally year round.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So Gateway,
7 for Gateway.
Gateway bumped to 7. And
yeah, keep her at 7 and then do 6 for Westminster Music Center.
Okay.
That gets us, that at least kind of meets us halfway.
All right, so what we're doing, we're giving the Gateway Arts $3,000 more than we gave them last year. We're doubling what we gave the Music Center. Everybody else is right in line. We're giving the Farm Center an additional $250. Does that work for y'all?
That keeps us at 40.
That keeps us at 40, Kevin? Are y'all good with that?
Yes, sir. I
am. Jimmy, you good? Or are you going to make adjustments somewhere? All right, you need to vote for the hospitality tax?
Yes, please.
You could just say so moved.
So moved, yes. We need a second.
Second.
Call for a vote, please.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
I think that's the fastest we have ever gotten through that. That's a record.
I would like to make one request to the council. When we send the notice of award to the agencies, I've mentioned this in the past, I would like to include in that letter that the checks will be available August 1st or whatever the nearest business day is if that happens to be on a weekend. That gives our small staff time to close out this current fiscal year, open up the new fiscal year, manage payroll and regular AP. We certainly can do it whatever the council wants, but that will be our request to you to help us manage it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. All right, next.
Before we move on, Brian, somebody, I guess, needs to reach out to the museum folks and let them know we didn't just scratch them off that list and we're going to.
I'll call him.
Yeah.
I'll talk to him tomorrow. And before you move on, we need to get Mr. Glenn back.
He's probably taking a nap. He was playing on a good hour. He may have drove up to El Charro. Welcome back, Mr. Glenn. Next, move on to new business. Consideration of first reading ordinance number 2023-06-13-01. This is the budget ordinance making appropriation for certain expenses, capital improvements, indebtedness of the City of Westminster, South Carolina for the year beginning July 1, 2023 and ending June 30th, 2024. The only real thing I would like to make note of is capital projects fund is a $14,530,000 line item. So when you hear the city's budget is at $28,400,000, it's kind of misleading. We hadn't increased our budget. We just got a lot of capital coming into it this year.
And most of that is outside funds.
Yes.
8.7 from USDA. Roughly $4 million is a straight up grant from RIA.
So what our utility transfer end up? It stayed at 5%. So we kept that at 5%.
Includes a 3.5 mil reduction on property taxes.
This does include the.
It does. And it also includes a $5 additional fee for inside, outside, and late fees on recreation registration, mm-hmm. as well as tap fee increases. Giving right in there.
So this is first reading. We will have a second reading, and then we have a.
You'll also have a public hearing.
Is that going to be at the second reading, or that will be the third?
We at the first reading, you only have two readings.
So it'll be at the second reading.
At the second reading, where you actually open a public hearing
right.
specifically just for input on the budget.
Do you have a motion? Do you need a motion?
We're going to need a motion, yes, we do.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve ordinance number 2023-061301.
Second.
Motion is second. Any more discussion?
Okay, I have a question of order. Purely. Did you just said that pending approval, this is going to go to a second reading next month, and the public hearing for public comment for the budget is right before the second reading?
Yes, whenever you pass a municipal budget, you're required to do a public hearing.
I get that.
There, you can hold it independent or in line with first or second, long as you hold a public hearing on the budget before final adoption. So at your next council meeting, we would have the public hearing before you do second reading.
So we're going to have public comment, and then later on in the meeting, immediately before the ordinance is voted on, there will be a public hearing. Two separate chances for the public comment.
Okay. Ideally, we would have had the public hearing at this meeting.
That's where I was going with this.
And it is my fault that we did not get that published in the newspaper ahead of time.
Okay. I'm fine. I just felt like, you know, if someone had some real concern that maybe changed all of our minds about what we've worked on for the past 3 months.
Right. I guess there are a couple things. One, it has to be in the newspaper at least 15 days before you have the public hearing. So you've got to give people plenty of time. And if someone were to come in during the public hearing and not like the budget that you're about to consider or not like some component, you aren't obligated to pass second reading in your next council meeting.
Okay.
You could table it and then give me and the staff direction to come back at a later date. You should, by state law, have it passed before July 1st. But there isn't anything that says you don't have to pass it June 29th, June 30th.
Okay.
So, there are a lot of things that can happen if they need to for the sake of public input and your consideration.
Yeah, I don't want to get in the weeds about it. I was just, all of a sudden, that just kind of threw me.
Had I made the correct timing decision, we would have had it in the newspaper 15 days in advance. I realized it wasn't in the newspaper the day it should have been in the newspaper.
I understand.
So there wasn't even any favors I could call at that point because the paper had already been published already. Not saying I would ask for any favors. Well, I probably would have.
Kevin, so we've got everything in from the department heads and their requests and their budgets and everything like that. We had that one item I think we talked about, I don't know if it was the last council meeting or the last budget meeting, where we had PR committee had dropped from 15 to 8 on the line item, but you said you hadn't gotten a budget from them yet. Are we still at 8 on that? Are we still good with that?
This still has 8 in the hospitality budget for
And of course, that can be adjusted up if we need to go up or down, or they need to go up or down.
You can choose to do whichever you like.
Okay.
The hospitality tax fund is budgeted with $8,000 for that line item. So if you were to increase it, we would need to decrease something else.
Okay.
If you wanted to decrease it, we could put that money toward whatever you have.
Like. All right.
Well, I want to give recognition where it's due. You've done a great job. This council's done a good job. Ms. Rebecca's done a great job for us to be able to keep that transfer at 5% and lower the property taxes. I think the millage, I think that's great. Y'all done a great job. And I really appreciate it. I know the people of Westminster will.
And one more thing, just be in the weeds for a moment longer. Sorry. You will at some point in the rest of the year, you will be asked to actually pass another ordinance setting the millage rate once the county auditor has completed her reassessment. So it is very possible, as we've talked in our budget workshops, we have a budget number that we're going after on those property taxes. And if we see more growth than what I projected, and I projected a conservative amount, you could roll those taxes back more mills, but we're waiting on her final numbers, which you will act on later in the calendar year. I think she typically sends those out in the summertime so that you have a chance to act before the October time frame.
Okay.
Very good.
You're going to explain all of that with the
Okay. All right, any more discussion? Any more questions? Call for a vote, please.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Audrey?
Yes.
All right, next, item number 7. This is in name only. We don't have documentation yet. Consider the first reading of ordinance 2023-06-13-02. An ordinance to sell or otherwise convey city property of approximately 1.34 acres located at 115 Riley Street to Westminster Hope Community for $10,000 contingent upon rezoning from R15 to GR.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor, I think it's worth the reflection in the minutes that Ms. Reese stepped out. She's recusing herself because this matter is closely affiliated with her church. You were, at your last council meeting, you were given a request from the Westminster Hope community to purchase the property at Riley Street, former Public Works property. And we've given it to you in name only at this point to make sure that we've got the sequencing correct. The way we would do this is have you do first reading. Those are the only caveats that the Hope community, Westminster Hope community, asked of you. If you pass this in name only, we would have the ordinance prepared for you at your next council meeting. Somewhere between this council meeting and possibly your next one, we need to schedule a planning commission meeting to consider that rezoning request. You can go ahead and pass both, if you choose to. I'm not putting any pressure on you to do so. You could choose to pass this ordinance in both first and second readings before it goes to the Planning Commission, understanding that the Westminster Hope community has made their offer conditional on their ability to put the 3 units on that property that they want to, which will require it to be rezoned from R15 to GR. So that would have to go to the Planning Commission. They would then make a recommendation to you, and then you have to do 2 readings of that ordinance. So there's a number of things that you have to go through to kind of seal the deal. All those things happen independent of the actual closing of the property, which Andrew would then handle on our behalf, on the city's behalf, with the Westminster Hope community once all those things are complete. We have to answer your questions.
Ideally, as far as I'm concerned, we would handle the contingencies before passing the ordinance. We definitely would have to do that before the closing. But you don't have to. Kevin's point.
Okay.
So to Andrew's point, we can schedule the planning commission meeting and have that recommendation for you either at the next council meeting or before you do second reading, if that's what you choose to do. If you leave it to me, I'm going to go ahead and have you do second reading, whether or not that planning commission report is up to you, because you have the final say in whether it's rezoned or not.
Correct.
If that final say were with the planning commission, I would recommend a different sequence. But with this body having final decisions, I don't think that, other than what Andrew's preferences are,
I'm fine with that. Everybody good with that?
Brian.
Yes, sir.
Did I mention you that property the city owns on Ann Davis, right there beside the Habitat for Humanity stuff they built?
You did.
Was there enough room there to do it?
I haven't looked.
Do you know, Kevin?
I'm not familiar with the property you're talking about.
There's some property on the left and right-hand side of Ann Davis, basically in the same area. It still puts them in proximity to Dot's Kitchen and also downtown, where if they're unable to have vehicles, then they could still be pedestrians and make things that they need. But I don't know if there's enough property there that would be a better suiting for that. I don't know.
Ann Davis,
off of...
Yeah, I'm looking for the city property.
Do you know how big that property is, Mike?
How far out Ann Davis is it?
It's just be on the right and left hand side.
This way. Where at?
Is that not city property right here?
Oh yeah, city? Yeah. No, that's just a road right away though. It's not wide. Right. Yeah, it's not wide enough to put anything on it.
Okay. I could.
We do have a strip of land down beside that. It's not much, but we do have that. Is that our street? Ann Davis is our street?
I think it is. I think it's on our street repaving.
It is. Yeah, that is also in the... Repaving. It's a one lane, though, and it's scheduled to stay that way.
Right.
It's pretty narrow.
Okay. But yeah, it'd be too narrow to build on.
Mm-hmm. That's what I need to know.
All right. Okay. Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Ruth? No. Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Kevin, do I need to ask for a point of order to just fill Dale in on what we do with the museum?
I think that would
be perfect. All right. I just call for a point of order to do that and let you explain to him? Okay.
So with the hospitality tax, council removed the Oconee History Museum from consideration for the hospitality tax and directed the staff to pay the utility bill up to the night exceeding $4,000 on an annual basis for the Oconee History Museum, contingent on them keeping their current operating hours.
Right. I think that was brought up last meeting we had, something along those lines doing that.
Yeah, and then just so you know, since you are a city member and council, I'll read you the amounts.
Okay.
If you're okay with what was allocated.
Okay.
The Farm Center was allocated $2,500.
Okay.
Gateway Arts Center $7,000. Apple Festival $10,000. Fall Spring Rodeo $2,500. Skyler Strong Barrel Race $2,000. Bigfoot Festival $10,000. West Music Center, $6,000.
Okay.
And that totals $40,000.
I'm sure they did well. I'm sure they did well. Thank y'all for
we
that.
We did quick.
That was good. About to lay down out there, take a nap.
Yeah. All right, next, item 8, consideration of proclamation recognizing Ehlers Danlos. Is that the way you say that, Danlos syndrome?
I'm going to go with your pronunciation.
And hypermobility spectrum disorders awareness month. And as y'all know, Tanya Watkins, she's been a big help to the council and the city for a long time, volunteered a lot of her time, working with the events committee, the PR committee. She's done a lot for us, and then she's had this center for a long time, but it finally got to a point that it's basically disabled her. And this is the condition she has. And before I read the proclamation, she's given a letter. She brought a letter. It's too long to read in the council meeting, so I'm going to ask that each council member get a copy. But it's thank you, Mayor and council members, for your time and consideration this evening. She apologized for her absence and unable to attend, but she thanks us for doing this, and she explains all about the syndrome she has. So if council would like a copy of that. The proclamation recognizes Ehlers-Danlos Syndromes and Hypermobility Spectrum Disorders Awareness Month. Whereas Ehlers-Danlos Syndromes are a group of 13 heritable connective tissue disorders that together affect 1 in 5,000 people. Each type of EDS has its own set of symptoms, but some features are seen across all types of EDS, including joint hypermobility, skin hyperextensibility, and tissue fragility. And whereas hypermobility spectrum disorders are connective tissue disorders that cause joint hypermobility, instability, injury, and pain, other symptoms such as fatigue, headaches, GI problems, autonomic dysfunction are all so often seen as part of HSD. I should have let you read this. Whereas there is no cure for any type of EDS or HSD, the conditions are managed by addressing a person's symptoms. EDS and HSD can cause a variety of symptoms in many different areas of the body, so people with these conditions often require multiple providers and different specialties to manage their care. And whereas access to professionals who are knowledgeable about EDS and HSD is limited in the city of Westminster, lack of awareness about EDS and HSD in the city of Westminster and across the world stands in the way of the diagnosis, management, and research of these conditions. And whereas awareness about EDS and HSD by both medical professionals and the general public can help improve the lives of people living with EDS and HSD in Westminster, South Carolina, and now therefore be it proclaimed that I, Brian Ramey, Mayor of Westminster, on behalf of the City Council and the citizens of Westminster, declare May 2023 as Ehlers-Danlos Syndromes and Hypermobility Spectrum Disorders Awareness Month. This means a lot to her, and she's meant a lot to the city, so I'm glad we were able to do that for her. We need to look after all of our citizens, especially those who are disabled and not able to do what they want to do. But y'all remember her in your prayers, because she's going through it daily.
Mr. Mayor, if I may ask.
Yes.
Ms. Overton did not record who made the first and second on the sale of the Riley property to the Westminster Hope community.
I don't know if I missed it or y'all didn't make a motion. I know we took a vote.
We didn't.
I don't believe they made a motion. I didn't think we did.
So if I can ask,
we had a motion.
Thank God I'm not.
So if you go back and redo the motion and the vote, please, acknowledging that Ms. Reese is not.
You're going to have to call me out quicker.
I'm sorry. I just looked there and I was like, I don't have, I always write it down.
Throw your Coke bottle at me next time. All right. So for item number 7, we need a motion.
I'll make a motion to consider first reading ordinance 2023-06-13-02.
I'll second it.
Motion and second. You want to vote again?
Yes. Yeah, please do.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
No.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank
you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Anyone have anything else for the good of the board? And I move we adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you all very much. Thank you all for coming. So,
oh my goodness.